It's the Legends on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
6:30 on Friday evening. That means one and only thing. It's the Legends from Radio City Sport. A very warm welcome. Alan Irwin in the hot seat for Steve Hobbesoul, who's having a welcome break. And joining me in the studio, two real legends. Sharpie, as always, is in his usual chair, enjoying making a note or two of all the debate that's coming your way. And standing in for Aldo, who's still down under, enjoying netting as well in Australia. We're never going to hear the last of that, are we? The wonderful Roy Evans is with us as well. So welcome, chaps. It's been a great week, hasn't it, for Reds and Blues on the field. Maybe not so good off the pitch in terms of the injuries that both sides have picked up. But are Everton and Liverpool on course for a League Cup final together? It certainly looks that way.
Well, I think, for me, I think Liverpool probably are unbeatable start favourites. I think for Everton's point of view, they go to City with a one goal advantage, but I think a lot of people are still expecting City to win. But you never know. You know, we haven't had a Merseyside Cup final for a while, so we're due one.
Don't think either of them are a done deal. I think there's still plenty to be done. I mean, Liverpool, again, with an inconsistency and the amount of injuries they're picking up, obviously, which is becoming a major problem for them. Then they're not guaranteed even a home. And sometimes the home fixture becomes more difficult. Everton going to Man City again, that's difficult for Everton. But if you can sort of keep them quiet for the first half an hour, you can actually fall apart. And City are not a team you should be frightened of. They're a team that you feel you can beat. But on their day, obviously, they're full of
You'd have still taken a one-goal lead at Stoke, though, Roy, wouldn't you?
Of course you would. They're a difficult team to play against. And again, I thought on the day it was as good as Liverpool have played maybe all season in the way Jürgen wants them to play, but obviously somewhere along the line he's got to work out about his intensity, as it's so called, because you can't keep picking up hamstring injuries. And when they're all the same, somewhere along the line you've got to look into it and say, well, why is it? It's not a blame thing, by the way. It's not blame. It's just that you want to eradicate it. You need all your players fit at the end of the day.
Ever experienced anything like that yourself, Rob?
Well, we always throughout my time at Liverpool, if you've got two players with a similar injury, you'd look through your training schedules and think, what exercises have we been doing differently in the warm-ups or different things? And you'd more or less come up with the answer. I mean, one guy we found with had a really bad ankle and he changed his car. And just that the pressure on the accelerator was so much different that it was actually giving him a dodgy thing.
Manchester City were looking at that with Vincent Kompany, weren't they, with the back injury?
I think a lot of people say that'd be backs and they're going to sports car now and the lower seats and all that. But the Liverpool thing is interesting for me is, you know, they've been used to, under Brendan Rodgers for so many years, to train a certain way. All of a sudden Klopp's come in with the intensity that he wants to play. You know, and that's not just in games, that's in training as well. So to go from one extreme to another, you know, that's a big ask. You know, and I don't know whether you look at all the hamstring injuries and say, well, as Roy says, well, what's the problem there? I don't think I think playing with that intensity is great. If you build up to it, I don't think you can change like that.
You can't put a pre-season when the season started.
No.
And I know, I mean, I understand why he wants them to obviously up the game, up the tempo and different. They're going to maybe press all the higher bits up. But at the end of it all, you can't. What you've done pre-season more or less gets you through the whole of the season. And if you want them to be, if it's so-called fit, and every manager that comes in, by the way, the new manager, I'm going to make you fitter. Yeah. And Gerard Houllier came in after
not
me and said,
enough.
And said, by the way, well, I'm going to get them fitter. And he said, right, you're never getting a lift anymore. You walk up the stairs. You know, I said, the lads said, well, hang on a minute. We are doing like five sessions a week training. Why can't we put into that? I mean, the end of it all, you've got to be, you've got to be careful where you go and what you change right in the middle of the season, especially when you're playing three games in a week and at this moment in time,
I think that's right. I think with Klopp as well in Germany, it wasn't as intense. The Premier League is like people talk being the fastest in the world or in Europe or whatever kind of thing, and you're playing umpteen games, especially over the Christmas period when players are getting tired. Now, if they're getting tired in games and you're training them at the same intensity as you're bound to break down. You know, you're bound to break down, and they've got to realise, and he's got to realise that the English game is totally different. The number of games they have, like the German players now have been on breaks for 3-4 weeks, whatever. This is different here. And listen, I'm not saying he's right or he's wrong, but I think I think next year will be better for him.
But hasn't he said that, Roy, that they're not having time to train because there's so many matches? Or are you saying it's the change in regime?
It's not just the change. There may be a change. He may just do say one simple thing in the warm ups or something. Mm. It could be anything like that. But overall, when you come into a place, if you come in the middle of a season or into the season, you can't start doing too much in terms of the physical thing. Mm. And again, managers, if you don't. The biggest things I think we were a great asset to us, we would give players days off. Mm. Nowadays, you come and you warm down and you get nice baths and you do all of the right things. But sometimes a day off is like a massive tonic to everybody.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, I just think from the different regimes where Brendan wanted to play a certain way and Klopp's come in and wants to play another way, you know, with the high intensity and obviously the training changes, you're bound to get injuries. You're bound to get injuries. So what I'm saying is, okay, I know he's had a little spat with Sam Allardyce, you know, quite rightly so, but I just think Liverpool next year, you'll see the real Klopp team next year and the way they're prepared for the games.
Yeah, it's not about a blame thing. No. At the end of the day, it's just, again, it's just something you have to adapt to and make it happen. I mean, when you talk about the Sam thing, Sam got enough problems of his own. I think he should. Yeah.
I think that's what Jürgen said.
Yeah. But in the end of the day, you know, I think that's quite right. I mean, I don't like managers when they start talking about other people's teams. No. As I say, it's your own job's hard enough. Yeah. Get on with it.
0151 472 0967 is the number to call, because it's your show as well, so we do want to hear from you this evening on the Legends. We're on the air through until 7:30. Plenty of debate to get through. So what do we put Everton's injuries down to, Sharpie? Well, pure bad luck?
No, but Everton had the same sort of thing, you know, where they had a lot of hamstring injuries as well. And, you know, umpteen players, I think you can go through them all. Coleman, Jagielka, Baines, McCarthy. So for me, that something not right.
There's
obviously something that they're doing that they're not doing right, that they're all picking up. Listen, at times injuries are bad luck. You're just one. But when you're having so many of the same injuries, as Roy said, you say, well, hold on a minute. Don't we have to change something here? There's something not right with the players. Why are they picking up so many injuries as they are? And I think for the number of hamstring injuries that we've had over the last few months, I know we're not, touch wood, it's not as bad at the moment with hamstrings, but whether he changed it, I'm not too sure, but there was far too many players pulling up.
I mean, medical staff. I mean, maybe sometimes we had probably very little medical staff. It's not about Everton. We had very few that were qualified. In fact, we did lots of the medical stuff ourselves. Yeah. We used to have, obviously, a go-to from a doctor who would look at it, or a surgeon, different things. But when it comes to the actual treating of the players, we did it ourselves. Bob Paisley, Joe Fagan, Ronnie Milan, myself, they all did it. Not saying it's right. But at the end of the day, I mean, players them days sort of, if you're in the team, you didn't want to come up with an injury. Especially, you can't play with hamstrings, you can't play with soft tissue. No. But if somebody kicks you, I mean, you can get away with it somewhere along the line.
Yeah,
and they didn't want to come out of the team because they couldn't get back in. But nowadays, it just seems to be, I mean, you think with all the technology they've got now, they would be on top of that.
Yeah. It's good to see Colo Touré staying on. That was old school. Get your teeth and get on.
But you can't.
Seamus Coleman couldn't. Everton had to finish the game with 10 men.
Yeah, and I think it's a worry. I think he might be out for a few weeks.
Were you pleased with that performance Wednesday?
Against Manchester, yeah, I was pleased in two aspects of performance, but also the crowd's reaction. I'd been critical before of the crowd and how negative they'd been towards certain players, but I thought everybody on the night got behind the team. Of course, you have to see something on the pitch. I know that. I've said it all along. But I thought, whilst I thought City were poor and they can play better, I thought Everton played really well. And I thought he got his tactics spot on. I thought we got round their big players. I thought Yaya Touré was disappointing. I thought Besic got round him well. Silva, in and out the game. You know, Aguero did great for their goal. But the big players didn't really perform on the night. So that's a worry for me. But the only positive, a positive thing I'll take to the second leg is, defensively, they are awful. Two centre backs are awful.
And away from home, Sharpie, Everton have only lost once this season. Yeah. That was at Arsenal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Everton have been better away from home than they have at Goodison Park.
I think we have a threat that we can score.
I think the biggest thing with most teams now, and Liverpool included, if you like it, Everton obviously played similar styles in many ways, is that if you have to take a game to people, and when you're at home, you do. It's down for you to try and win the game. We're not quite equipped, well enough equipped. I mean, Liverpool, again, we're not scoring enough goals to win games at home. we're giving away, making silly mistakes, and people are catching us on the counter attack and everything. So sometimes it actually seems that it's more difficult to play at home than it is away.
I think you're right, Roy. I think in Everton, just a very quick stat, Al, I think Everton prior to the game the other night had conceded 20 goals at home and only 9 away from home.
Sharpie, so that's my job. Stats.
Oh, sorry, Al. Yeah.
I'm very impressed.
So see, somebody told me that one. Yeah.
No, but it's a valid point to make. Liverpool, of course, Roy, are in action this evening. We get the team news in around about 15, 20 minutes' time. Liverpool reserves at Exeter, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be that way. And maybe, anyway, you would have made some changes because of the schedule that's there. But you're in the FA Cup and you want to win. And I think he's going to make massive amount of changes. And hopefully it's a chance for these lads who don't get that many, maybe had one or two. You're getting a chance against Exeter. It's a team you'd expect to beat, if you like, but the FA Cup makes every game difficult. But again, I think with some of the quality of the kids that we've got, we should be able to go down there and get results.
And a number of them recalled from loan as well, which tells a tale in itself.
But I like the idea. I mean, sometimes you've got to use what you've got. I mean, sometimes you send these lads away and I think you forget about them. I mean, there's that many of them on loan these days. The young lads, this is the time where sometimes you actually find a little gem who's gone away somewhere, learnt a bit more, playing against maybe better opposition than the academy football, and comes back a better player, and hopefully that's the case.
Yeah, that game kicks off at 7:55. So
I thought all those playing was flying straight into Exeter, and the legends were getting out and helping supplement the team. Yeah,
hey, they might be needed.
Yeah. There's a couple I could have got on there. Yeah.
Well, we've got Dave's wonderful look who's scoring feature as well. Yeah. We're going to give you the first clues because we're 12 minutes into the show already. And Sharpie, you've done particularly well on this over the last.
I'm expecting
weeks,
this man because it's a Liverpool one tonight, and I expect Roy to be quite good at this.
I'm useless at this, but I'm not the best. No.
You should be okay on this one, Roy.
As long as Roy hasn't signed him.
Well.
Oh, here we go. How easy is this?
Hey, by the way, even if I've signed him, I might not remember them.
Right, let's give you the first clue. You can play along at home, of course, and you can tweet us at Radio City Talk, I think, is the one to tweet at. It's a Liverpool player who was born in November 1972. So that makes him, 43 now, doesn't it? November 1972. 44 this year, but not until November. First couple of clues for you. He was ranked in the top 100 players who shook the cop and played 33 league games for the Reds, scoring 9 goals. Only played 33 league games for Liverpool, scoring 9 goals. So that might indicate that he was a forward. Or possibly a midfielder who did well.
Oh, hold on, I'll narrow it down. It could have been a defender.
Yeah. nine goals. Yeah. He's not Derek Mountfield.
He could have been a right back.
He takes penalties, but Phil Neal could have been.
Exactly.
But,
well, I'm giving you a clue, an extra clue there.
Is the second clue going to give us his nationality?
Are you going to give us the first name? Go on, give us a name. Your first guess.
Oh, come on.
November 1972.
You. 1972.
So 44.
I was still playing
this year.
That's when he was born, wasn't he?
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's 43,
so
44.
He would have finished, how many years ago? 10 years ago.
Oh, that's ridiculous. How can you guess in that?
Come on, Graham. You're an expert.
He's obviously played it at the end of my time, isn't it, really? He must have played at the end of my time somewhere.
And he was one of, did you see, the 100 that shook the cop?
He was ranked in the top 100 players who shook the cop. Now, Roy will know all about that nine goals from 33 league games.
Nine goals, 33 goals.
I like it. They haven't even got a guess.
Not me.
A guess, Dave.
That's a really difficult one, that, isn't it?
It shouldn't be flummoxed.
There's not many players that play for Liverpool, is there? So you're expecting to get us out of that one. God almighty.
Well, you might get them from the next clues that will come up after part one when we get into part two.
Let me tell you right now, I bet you everybody out there who's listening would not get that on that clue.
No, it's a difficult one. From
impossible.
From hey, there are some staunch Reds out there, Sharpie.
Yeah,
tell you.
Know things. Yeah.
If they know that without looking it up, they'd get them on here now.
Get a life.
Yeah, yeah.
0151 472 0967 is the number to call. If you want to take part in the Legends, have a chat. We've got Roy Evans in the studio standing in for Aldo, who's still making his way back from Australia, revelling in the fact he's scored a goal down there too. And we've got Graham Sharp, as always. Don't go anywhere. We've got plenty more coming your way on the Legends tonight.
Call now 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
One of the most enjoyable breaks we've had for a long time, I have to say. Some of the guesses that we've had in the studio for Look Who's Scoring, absolutely fantastic. Keep them coming in on the Twitter feed as well, at Radio City Talk, because quite a number of you have gone close, but as Sharpie said, nobody's going to get it from those first few clues. John in Bootle, Dave in Bromborough, and Pete in Egbeth have all got the right era, really, more than anything else, but you're not there, I'm afraid, so keep them coming in. Let's give you another clue, a bit of an audio clue, which might just help you here. He played for one other English club, but never managed to score a goal for them. But here's a little audio just to maybe spur your thoughts.
Has scored on his debut for Liverpool. The last player to do that was Michael Owen back in May 1997 at Wimbledon. And if he can emulate his feats, well, he'll be a happy man. Liverpool have wrapped up the points at Hillsborough. Sheffield Wednesday nil, Liverpool 2.
Well, I remember the game because that was my voice on the commentary. One of my very early games, Liverpool winning at Sheffield Wednesday. And he was a goal scorer that day. So that gives you a clue, Roy.
Certainly it's got to be a forward, isn't it? He's going to emulate Mike Alone.
But he only played 33 games.
And played for one other English club, but he never managed to score a goal for them. So it's a tricky one tonight. I think Dave's done well with his dodgy dilemmas.
I was going to say, one guess, I was going to say Emil Heskey, but he played for Bolton, but I don't think it was him. Too many goals he scored.
Played a lot more league games than 33 for Liverpool, didn't he? Anyway, keep them coming in. We're going to go to the lines. It's not a Red who's waiting to talk to us, so I don't think Chris in Warrington will know who this player is, but I think he's more interested in talking about the Blues, aren't you, Chris?
I don't care who that Red...
He doesn't care who the Red is.
No, just a quick comment about the other night. Sharpie was on about the crowd and that kind of thing, and it's just a point that Mo Bezic's role in that, really. For the first 15 minutes, it was quite quiet, a bit like it was first half at Spurs on Sunday, where we stood off them. And then there's a couple of challenges that Mo Bezic put on Touré, one in particular where he chased back. And the reaction from the crowd was really positive, very similar to when Phil Neville put that tackle a good few years back on Cristiano. And from there, he just seems to pick up. And it's those small things that, you know, make a difference. And from that point, it turned into a nasty Goodison and things went on from there. Yeah, I thought he had a fantastic game, Bezic.
Yeah, I think Bezic did really, really well. I thought, personally speaking, I thought Gareth Barry, again, was immense. I thought he was fantastic. But Mo Bezic did really, really well. I can understand what you're saying, Chris. But sometimes, you know, when things aren't happening for you, you need the backing of the crowd. You know, and I just think at the times this season at Goodison, it's been really, really quiet. And I can understand, you say you're looking to get something, whether it be a Bezic tackle or a Phil Neville tackle. I can understand that. But sometimes, right from the start, I thought when the teams came out, the crowd were up for it. I thought the first few or the first 15 minutes were very tentative from both sides, just feeling each other out. But you're spot on. I think, you know, when Bezic won the tackles against Touré, everybody got up for it. But that's what we need to replicate every single game at home, because it ain't going to be easy. As we talked about it before, about teams scoring goals at Goodison and they're making it difficult for us, it's easier when the crowd are on your side rather than against you. And I thought that's why the other night it was brilliant. OK, it might have taken the best each tackle, but I thought from the first whistle when they came out, or they came out the tunnel, I thought they were up for it, and I thought the lads appreciated that.
I'm sure 8,000 Evertonians will help at Emirates in a couple of weeks.
Well, what do you think, Chris, going there? What do you see happening?
I think the first half hour is key, isn't it? I mean, they're a quality side, and if Silva clicks and Aguero clicks and those lads, then it's going to be very, very difficult. But I think for the first time in a while, Martina's got it absolutely right the other night in terms of formation and strategy and that kind of thing. And I also think Robles made a difference as well in terms of the confidence he seems to give the back four. So, you know, if we get a similar team out there and manage to keep in there for half an hour, we've definitely got goals in us. And 8,000 Evertonians, the City fans will probably get on their players' backs if things aren't going well after half an hour. So I think it's all there for us, to be quite honest.
Yeah, hopefully that's the case, Chris. Obviously, you know, as you said, I think that the first half hour is important. I agree with you. I think we can score there. Just said to Roy before that the centre-backs aren't great. So it'll be an interesting one. Obviously, we have to go there next week in the league. But you know, very quickly, you going to Goodison tomorrow?
Yes, I'll be there tomorrow, yeah.
And what do you expect to see? Do you expect to see a team of kids?
I'm not sure if it'll be kids. It'd be nice to see a couple, because I suppose the ones who are close are all out on loan, aren't they? Mm-hmm. The Hennons and the Ledsons of this world. Mm-hmm. But I suppose it'll be people like Osman, Kone, Galloway, those sorts of lads who get another run out. And maybe there's a... Doofus isn't far away, I believe. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a couple of lads like that who might make the bench. We might get a bit of a look at them.
Yeah, and no trouble there, should be, against Dagenham.
Hopefully not, hopefully be in the bag on Monday night.
Yeah, smashing Chris.
Great stuff, Chris. Thanks very much indeed.
Right. Cheers.
While we're talking about teams, this is the Liverpool lineup that starts at Exeter tonight. You ready for this? Bogdan in goal, a back four of Randall, Enrique, Ilore and Smith. In front of them, Teixeira, Branigan and Stewart, and then Kent, Benteke and Sinclair. So, Benteke is the senior one. Enrique's got plenty of experience. What do you make of that?
I expected, obviously, we've seen what's gone on in the morning papers and everything at the end of the day, and the amount of injuries you've got somewhere along the line, you've got to play. One of the good things, I mean, Jürgen said something in his press conference today about one thing about this team won't have played very much together. Strange enough, they will, because a lot of the time they will have played in under-21s and different things. Obviously, you've got Benteke and you've got Enrique coming back, but they will have played together, and there's a lot of good talent there. Again, it's just, can they step up to the plate? Can they become first-team players? And you know, that's what they're there for. These are our future, if you like.
Yeah.
And it's a great opportunity, and hopefully they can.
Debuts for Ilore, Kent and Stewart, while Benteke wears the armband. He's the captain.
Well, you look at the Exeter dressing room, and the Exeter dressing room will be looking at that and tells the other manager, will be looking at it and saying, that isn't a Liverpool team that you recognise. You know, there might be a shock on the cards here. But as Roy says, those players wouldn't be at Liverpool if they weren't quality players. So they're quality in their own right. Yeah, they haven't played together, and they'll look to take advantage of that, Exeter, but I still think Liverpool have too much. They still have too much.
You would hope so, but again, it's, as I said, it's a cup game. Yeah. The FA Cup makes everything so different.
And those kids, Roy, will probably go in there and probably not have played in a situation like this where get after them, get into them.
The good thing about, though, Sharpie, to be fair, is that if you have a team that's like been winning everything, and you go down to Rex and you go, oh, we're going to beat them, they'll probably go with a poor attitude. Yeah. At least you know they're going to go with an attitude and give themselves a chance.
Yeah, true.
Okay, keep your guesses coming in for Look Who's Scoring. Dave's had a cracker tonight. Steve FM, at Steve FM, says Nigel Clough. Incorrect. Mick57 says Michael Thomas. Incorrect. Not the Michael Thomas played for United.
Yeah, but you said that he went to another team and never scored. Mm. Right, okay.
Yeah. Jonesy, at Jonesy, has got it right.
Has he?
The only one so far. So
well, get Jonesy to tweet in or whatever. And did he get it without going on Google or something?
Well, he might have done 33 league games and done that. I don't know.
Yeah, you put a list of players there. We would all have a chance.
Yeah, exactly. So has he cheated there or what? Is it just knowledge?
We'll never know.
We'll give you more clues after the next break. But let's have a quick look ahead to the FA Cup ties over the course of the weekend. You've mentioned Everton there with Chris from Warrington. We're not anticipating a shock there. Let's certainly hope not.
No, but I think we'll be down the same road as Liverpool. Yeah. And I think we'll play a lot of youngsters. Not maybe as many as what Liverpool play, but I would expect Galloway to play, the young kid Pennington to play. I think Oviedo might be in the frame. You know, he's been out injured as well. Gibson, who's been out. Some youngsters, but then you've got Morales, who I think needs games. Yeah. Coney needs games. Yeah. Lennon needs
great
games.
Experience.
So Naismith needs games. So I think we'll still have experience in there.
I think it's important what you put on the bench, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think in certainly Liverpool's case, they've got to put a bit of experience. And it'd be nice to give them a weekend off, but you'd put some reliable guys on that bench as well.
Yeah. Anticipating any shocks anywhere else? Will Sheffield United get a result at Old Trafford? Will Scunthorpe get a result at Chelsea? And there's plenty of Premier League teams going out, because I think there's six all Premier League ties.
But what the thing is as well, looking at this, Roy, is we talk about the FA Cup over the years and people say, no, it's not the same as it was. There's a massive round of Premier League games midweek, Tuesday, Wednesday. So some teams before, I'm looking at Sunderland, who are down there, look at Villa, who are down there. What's more important to them?
Well, Sam's already
Sam Allardyce has done that before when he's been at these other clubs. He's just fielded like reserve sides and went out of the FA Cup at an early stage so he can concentrate in the league. You watch this as well, because it's crazy that they've scheduled a Premier League match day can Tuesday, Wednesday.
First time that's happened, yeah. Really.
No, the Premier League have taken over the world, haven't they? Yeah. Let's be honest about it. I mean, the FA...
Spot's on, right?
For me, let football down. The FA used to run the whole thing here, and the leagues have themselves. The Premier League, since they've taken over, the FA Cup now is... When people treat the FA Cup as if it was like the League Cup, or whatever it's called, and then they played lesser teams. It's been devalued massively.
Yeah.
Obviously, the nearer it gets to the final, everybody wants to play in it then. Mm. But for me, it's lost a little bit of its magic.
And I think there are plenty of Premier League midweek fixtures as we go on into January and February as well. So you'll see a lot more of those throughout the course of the next couple of months. And we'll hear a lot more from Roy Evans and Graham Sharp very shortly. Keep your calls coming in on the Legends. 0151 4720 967.
Call now. 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Yeah, welcome back to the Legends on Radio City Sport. We've got a nice long part three for you now. Our two legends are looking flummoxed in the studio, but they are getting close to Dave's Look Who's Scoring. We're going to give you another clue, and I'm going to tell you that Liverpool signed him from Marseille. So,
Marseille, didn't
I? Yeah, sure.
Well, I've told you now, that's me finished, because I left. Hey, I didn't want anything to do with Frenchmen, for starters. And at the end of the day, I had no interest in the club for 3 years after that.
Don't shout it out just yet if you have got it, Sharpie. Right, we were talking about the FA Cup not too long ago. Well, Everton got their FA Cup campaign underway against Scunthorpe on this very day 4 years ago. Here is a highlight from that particular game.
Here's Gay with the ball into the penalty area, cut back for a chance for Baines.
Oh, what a goal!
What a strike from Leighton Baines. He picked his spot, top corner, just inside the penalty area. He lifted it superbly over goalkeeper Joe Murphy. The ball played into his path by Maggie Gay, and Leighton Baines with a quite exquisite finish, and Everton go nap.
That's a bit more recent for you to remember, Sharpie. Everton scored five that day. Can you name five different goal scorers? Well, that was the fifth that you just heard from Leighton Baines. Can you name the rest, the other scorers? Five different scorers that day.
What is this, a test Sharpie?
Yeah. Test Sharpie.
We're getting older, you know, the memory goes.
Yeah.
Right. Maggie Gay?
No.
Oh, that's it, man. I wouldn't know.
Louis Saha?
Yeah.
Jermaine Beckford? Seamus Coleman? And Marouane Fellaini.
That's right, I remember that.
Got through at Scunthorpe. So that was that day 4 years ago. Right, enough of us yabbering on about all sorts of rubbish. Let's head to Bromborough, my neck of the woods, and talk to Kevin, who's a Red. Hiya, Kev.
Evening, lads. You're right.
Yeah, welcome to the Legends. What's on your mind?
To be honest, I'm just trying to get the team. Have you got the team news through yet?
Yes, it's Bogdan in goal, a back four of Randall, Enrique, Ilore and Smith. In front of them, Teixeira, Brannigan and Stewart, and then Kent, Benteke and Sinclair.
Oh, fair enough. Well, hopefully out of adversity, we find some stars tonight. You never know, do you?
You never know.
That's all we can hope for. If them lads play together, they should be able to give Exeter a game, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Tonight, and it's happened in the past, to be honest, a long time. Obviously, Michael Owen was obviously so good at the young age, but he did get forced into the side because of injuries. It did make me laugh the other night, Graeme Souness talking about Jürgen Klopp and overworking players and injuries, and when Graeme Souness was in charge, we had horrendous injuries. And there was all sorts of inquests with regards to what was going on at training while Mr. Souness was in charge. On that point, to be honest, everybody's been talking about the training and the way we're playing, and is this causing the injuries? Well, I'd like to ask the guys who were mentioned on the radio, the various pundits, how does Martin Skirtle, Colo Torre, Lovren get involved in the pressing game, playing centre half?
No, we weren't talking about the pressing game at the end of the day. It came up to that actually. Graham had a go at Jürgen Klopp, and I'd said something about it. it's not about, you don't get it just because of the pressing game. No. You can just get it by just doing something different in training. And if you get so many, there's got to be some sort of reason. It's, you're very, very that unlucky to have end up with five people with hamstrings at the end of the day. And what? Graham, I'm defending Graham, I don't know what he thought in his head. I'm defending myself as that. All I'm saying is at the end of the day, you've got to try and look into it and find out what is the cause, because otherwise, if you keep getting them, you're going to end up in real trouble.
Yeah, we're not talking about pressing, but you're talking about high intensity in training and the way you train as well. You know, you can do possession games in training where it's high intensity, when it's all about closing people down.
Short areas, closing people down
and sharpening and bursts of energy kind of thing. That's all about that. It's not necessarily pressing from the front in match days. It's what you, it's what the training is. You know, sometimes you have all these hamstring strains because you've been used to doing something at one pace and then all of a sudden you've got to change pace. So it might have been that. Listen, we don't know. We're only guessing. But there's got to be something that, you know, that so many players are going out with those injuries.
Yeah, I agree with you now you're talking about the training methods. But when people have just been talking about the pressing game itself, and I'm thinking, well, hang on a second, well, the centre-halves don't do an awful lot of pressing, and they're the lads with the hamstrings, you know. Mm. We've got knee ligaments, and they're just, you know, Gomez, Danny Ings, these are all injuries that can happen to anybody at any time, I suppose, really. They're not those sort of injuries. But as I say, you know, we can only go with it tonight and see if the lads perform, and you never know, we might find a couple of superstars. I've been well impressed with the young lad Smith in the games that he's played, to be honest. I've been really impressed with him.
I mean, ideally you'd like to stick like four or five of the youngsters in with a bit of experience, but we're not in that position, unfortunately, with the injuries you've got. So they're more or less playing like a reserve team, if you like, except for one or two of the older ones. So it's, but it'd be nice to see how they do, because I think they have got the ability.
To be honest, I've been asked a lot of questions by a lot of fans of other clubs about Jurgen Klopp, and my comments were today, you know, if we haven't got a great manager, I think we've got a great comedian.
Well, he's interesting, isn't he?
He's making me laugh. You know, he got asked this morning, you know, what's the team going to be? So, well, I'm going.
Yeah.
and I might take a few players with me. And, you know, and as I say, you've got to smile, because if you don't laugh, you'll be in tears with all that many injuries, you know. And the lads...
Yeah.
Jesus, he's starting on the back foot, isn't he?
Yeah, there will be a time, by the way. I mean, and to be fair, he's coming as for you know, he needs time to get the team, his own team. He hasn't bought a player yet, of course. But there will be a time that he has to start winning games and consistently, obviously, with Liverpool at the end of the day, the expectations of all our fans. So somewhere as manager, he will soon be expected to have a team that can obviously get into the top four if possible, but at least up there challenging. But he's getting the time now where the fans are very understanding. 1 week we're good, next week we're bad. And the fans are being understanding at the end of the day. And I just think, again, we need to give him that time, but there will be a day that he has to perform and the team has to do a lot better.
To be honest, Roy, one thing, and all the lads who go to football with, we've all agreed with, a breath of fresh air is his honesty.
Yeah, without a doubt.
When we play games, because I remember Mr. Hodgson, after we got battered by Everton at Goodison, and he told everybody it was the best we played all season.
And the positives were there are none.
You know, I we don't want to hear that.
No.
You know, we want you know, Brendan played him last year, you know, I thought we were outstanding last year, and it was a 0-0 draw at Aston Villa. And I'm thinking, well, you can say, well, I thought we played all right today, but the final ball wasn't good enough and we didn't create enough chances. Yeah. But we weren't outstanding.
No, you're spot on with that.
Let's just be honest with people. It's a breath of fresh air, but that's all the lads want to hear. It's only being honest. Mm. And him saying, well, I'll tell you what, you know, in fact, I think he swore a couple of times in his comments after the game with regards to... But that's a breath of fresh air to me.
I agree.
And I think if he's honest with the players as well, that's a reaction you get. That's all I want. You know, I've got a boss. If my boss is honest with me, that's all you want. That's all the fans want. And, you know, you don't want somebody blowing smoke up your backside, do you? Mm.
Great stuff, Kev. Yeah, thanks very much indeed for your thoughts. Right. Some good points made tonight. Kevin in Bromborough, who's a Red, enjoying life under Jurgen Klopp. Interesting point he made there, talking about signings, or you said, Roy, he hasn't signed anyone yet. Has he got to sign someone in this window, given the way these injuries are going at the moment?
I think he might have signed somebody today. I'm not sure he signed one of the guys he was after. Whether you'll have to sign...
Well, the one who's gone back on loan.
We've had a few that have come back on loan, but there was... Yeah, Grušić, yeah. He's gone back on loan as well, so you won't see much of him. But again, I think having four or five players that he's brought back on loan, that will help him out. But I think he's quite sensible. If the players aren't there that he wants, don't waste your money. I'm sure we can get through without being relegated, obviously, to the end of the season. We'll keep ourselves in the rear, but we'd like to do well. We'd like to win a trophy. We'd like to get in the top four. But the end of it all, when the end of the season comes, he'll have a far better view of what he needs to buy and what he needs to bring in. The only thing I'd say, he's in the situation he's in with the injuries, he may have to buy somebody just to cover his backside.
I can't believe that you just mentioned the relegation word there. Without getting relegated, Roy said.
No, but at the end of the day, it's one of those daft sort of seasons.
I don't think any Liverpool fans thinking about that. Let me give you the final clue for the look who's scoring, because Sharpie's racking his brain. We told you that Liverpool signed him from Marseille.
Yeah.
He had a great international record. He played 38 games of international football and scored 23 times.
What?
That's a great strike record for Guinea.
What? Come on, Roy, you must know him now.
I told you I'd gone by then.
38 games for Guinea and scored 23 times. I can't tell you who the opponents were, but he was knocking them in left, right and centre.
I can't tell you his name either.
Yeah. Guinea international for Liverpool.
Sharpie's still struggling. Oh, right. Still only Jonesy out there who's got it. So, at Jonesy, who got it very early on.
That's obviously
got
to be the only Guinean player that plays for Liverpool, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Yeah.
Does that make it easy for you?
No.
I think Dave got a picture of him up on his phone just moments ago. He quickly got rid of it before Sharpie.
Can I tell you this? I saw the picture and I still don't know who it is.
Fantastic stuff, fantastic stuff. Well, you've heard the Liverpool team for tonight. A couple of players in there who've been recalled from loan. Thiago Alori, who's come back from Aston Villa. Didn't get a sniff out there, did he, for Aston Villa? Ryan Kent, who's been playing at Coventry as well. So Benteke leading the line. Is there a lot of responsibility on Benteke tonight?
Yeah, I think there always is, yeah. Obviously, you're one of the senior players and you're up front. But again, I think it'd be great for these young lads to play with someone like him, see if they can find a different way to actually give him more chances, because sometimes even Liverpool at the top level haven't been able to play quite with him. I mean, he's our top goal scorer, I think it was 7 or 8 goals, which isn't an awful lot. But again, with the better service, you know that he's got the ability to stick the ball in the back of the net. And maybe tonight there will be better service.
Well, he's wearing the captain's armband, Christian Benteke. Right, these two are still flummoxed on the look who's scoring clues and everything. And David has now provided a picture of him, but they're still struggling. So while you try and work it out, let's head to the man who's going to give us all the odds on what is a big FA Cup weekend. And Sharpie and Roy are going to pick their accumulators, and Dale Tempest is going to be there to tell us why they will get it spot on or be miles away. Dale, welcome.
Oh. Evening, gents. Happy New Year.
How you doing?
Happy New Year, Dale.
Oh, dear. I hope you're going to be a good, lucky one for us, 2016. Bit better than 2015.
We have a little bit of luck, mate. I hope so. Well, a little bit of luck, I hope so. Can't be any worse.
I was working out what Aldo's three would have been, as he's not here. Arsenal 1-4, Everton 1-5, and Chelsea 1-5. It was a certainty that was his treble this weekend. So thank goodness he's in Australia or wherever he is.
He is on his way on his way back, Dale. Brilliant. On his way back.
Yeah, Dale. Sorry to interrupt. I've got it. I've got the question. Yes.
Sharpie's just got our long-standing quiz for the night, Dale.
Kamara.
That's why he's ecstatic.
Yes.
Oh, he shouted it out. Titi Kamara.
It's amazing what that Google can do.
No, Google involved here.
I just came through his earphones. Yeah. No problem.
Dale, it's FA Cup tomorrow, and it's. I tell you what, you talk about fixtures being hard to choose when it's a league. This is just as difficult, mate, I tell you.
This is.
And
well, you just don't know the teams, do you?
No, exactly. You know, we talked about it before, about, you know, some teams will play weakened teams, looking at Sunderland, looking at Villa. The most important thing is obviously Premier League survival for them. So it's a really tough one to choose. But let me start. Let me start. I've gone with three. I've gone for Blackburn to win at Newport.
Okay, yeah.
I've gone for Derby to win at Hartlepool.
Right, yeah.
And my home one is West Brom to beat Bristol City.
Okay, right. Well, the first one there, Blackburn, they're 3-4.
Right.
I'm just going through my list here. It's quite a long one. Hartlepool, Derby, 8-15 is the Derby price. And what was your last one there? Your home, West Brom, wasn't
West
it?
Brom, yeah.
Yeah, the Baggies there, 8-13 against Bristol City. So, yeah, as you say, it's very difficult to tell, but you do have two. So I think Derby got to be too strong for Hartlepool, as you say. But there weren't hardly one single. I was looking at last year's results. I think the third round, it was like two upsets.
Yeah.
You know, it was something like, I think there was it Sheffield United won at QPR or something like that? And it might have been Rochdale at Nottingham Forest or something.
Yeah.
It was hardly an upset. And I think the more I look at it, the squads are strong. You know, so much money in the top divisions, you know, nutritionists and lads there, and depth in the squads. It is tough to get the upsets as we maybe got a few years ago.
Is it going to be one at Exeter tonight?
We're talking how difficult it is. 4-9 was the Liverpool price early on in the week. 4-6 now, as we go, and they simply from the lineup.
What are Exeter?
Exeter 17-4. So you're just over 4-1, you know, fraction over 4-1 there. But it is one of those. Tomorrow, until we get the team news, you haven't got a clue what you're betting on. Mm. You're betting blind, and that's always dangerous.
No, it's not for me. It's probably it probably helps me, by the way.
I'm
going to
say, should I be an older, do it every week?
Yeah. If you think you know all about this game, you know nothing, by the way. That's the end of it,
Absolutely.
Do you want to get mine? Mine, okay. I've got Leeds to beat Rotherham.
Okay, they're even money.
Bolton to beat Eastleigh.
Yeah, I like that one. I think the market's completely underestimating Bolton. I mean, they've done all right in recent weeks. They're just not putting two games together. 5-4.
Just not getting paid. That's the sort of
I mean, that's a big price, 5-4, isn't it? Odds against.
Yeah.
Way and on league side.
And Ipswich to beat Portsmouth. Now, that's quite close to that.
Now, that is an interesting one. The reason being, there's been quite a bit of money this week for Portsmouth. And the reasoning being, I think looking at Ipswich, they've gone out the last 5 years in the third round. I think the feeling is with Mick McCarthy just squeezing into the playoffs there, it could be the Ipswich sort of academy boys, a bit like Liverpool tonight. So you're a brave one with Ipswich, but 17-20 is the price you're getting on there.
Roy, just when you were feeling confident, he always comes in with the last one it says and just knocks you for dead.
It's called being kicked in the teeth.
Yeah. I was going to choose Ipswich against Portsmouth, but Portsmouth have let me down so many times last season, I'm seeing well clear of them.
Well, if they beat them, that's what I hope.
They
could do with it. It won't do them any harm, a cup run. They're decent, well, I think, 6 wins away this season. They're better away than they are at home. It's mental attitude, isn't it?
That's it.
You know what it's like. As soon as the sort of coach starts resting the two of the main players, you might have a few out there, but
you'll be getting a job if you're not careful. There's all this knowledge about mental attitudes and things.
Keep your job. I wouldn't want any jobs.
Dale, are you going anywhere tomorrow?
I'm not actually.
No.
My wife's got me down for shopping. FA Cup weekend.
By the way.
Oh, I know, it's a nightmare.
It's people that you are devaluing the FA Cup. Going shopping.
We only get tickets for the Football League.
Oh, right.
Don't get them for the FA Cup.
Hey, you definitely won't be on a winner there, by the way. Going shopping. That's going to cost you money, mate. Unlucky.
Brilliant, Dale. Thanks for your contribution, as always, on
Cheers,
the Legends.
Dale.
All right, lads. Take care.
Cheers, mate. Bye.
That's Dale Tempest from Sky Bet. Other betting outlets are, of course, freely available for your choice and your loss of money. Sharpie's still punching the air because he did get our Look Who's Scoring. It took him a long time.
Surely.
Yeah, definitely.
No,
the clock had Sharpie.
Titi Kamara.
Now, you didn't sign him, Roy,
no,
did
I didn't
you?
Sign him, Gerard, but I do remember him, by the way, now, yeah.
33 league games, scoring 9 goals.
That's all he played, yeah?
Yeah, 33 league games, ranked in the top 100 players who shook the cop. Are you sure about that, Dave, when you had a look at that? Fantastic clues.
What actually gives you that?
91st he was ranked.
What gives you that? Yeah. Title and
how'd you get in there?
It was an LFC TV
fans
vote that the fans voted in on. So
Titi Kamara.
Yeah, there you go. He must have been popular with a number of Liverpool fans at the time. But
there wasn't many people got it.
Yeah,
tweeting in, was there?
Who was the other club he played for?
Did you just say Marseille?
No, he played for one other English club, but he never scored a goal.
Was it Sheffield Wednesday? No. No, no, hold on, that's not the question. No.
Sharpie's had his brain's been taxed enough tonight. His brain has been taxed more than enough. Right, we've got a couple of minutes to finish things off on the Legends tonight. Let's go through the weekend and great games to come next week as well, because Everton are at Manchester City on Wednesday, and Liverpool, of course, have got Arsenal, haven't they? So great league games, so... this FA Cup's a bit of a distraction, isn't it, this weekend?
It is. It's actually become a little bit of a mess, hasn't it?
I mean, we've
always, over the Christmas period, there's always been a lot of games, but now there seems to be even more. It's game after game after game. And obviously they've got bigger squads, and maybe they can cope with it, but it'll be interesting either way, obviously. But the old saying is, you take one game at a time and see where you go, and then obviously you can't. If you start planning the Arsenal game before the Exeter game, you're in trouble. Yeah. But, you know, as I say, I think you've got to think about it, that's for sure. And obviously with the team he's put out today, that will give some of his top players a rest.
And, of course, Everton will be hoping to get the likes of Lukaku back on Wednesday.
Yeah, two big games for both clubs. No, massive games. You know, great games as well. Arsenal and Man City, you know, two teams that are going for the league title. So, big games. Hopefully both teams can get victories.
But it's liable to slip up as well. In City, even Arsenal, every now and then have a hiccup, so I mean, they're not, none of them are perfect, so they're all gettable if you can play well on the day.
Is the FA Cup third round weekend as enjoyable as it used to be?
Only if you win.
Yeah.
And Everton will beat Dagenham and Redbridge last 30 seconds?
I would sincerely hope so. If not, it's a massive shock.
And Liverpool will win. They kick off in half an hour. Roy's already told us Liverpool will not lose.
I think they win. I really do think they win, but it'll be an interesting game. Mm.